right then. Hey, how you doing? It is Wednesday, 5 p.m. Time for American Internet Radio, 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. I'm Tom Ryan. I'll be your host for the next hour if you will stay with us. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well, of course, running the board.
I am in here.
There's physical proof right there. And I'm doing something a little bit different. I wonder if it sounds different. I can't tell. I decided to try to adjust the microphone in a different way. And after 25 years or more of doing this, I figured this might actually work for me. So it seems a little bit easier for me to read by putting the microphone down underneath my face rather than in front of it. If it sounds weird, let me know. That might not be the best thing for me to do. But my main reason for being here and for doing it as long as I have is because one of the best things about being able to do what I'm doing on the radio is I get to do, well, HPC lets us do what we want to do, but we have themes. And we've been doing this theme now for the better part of 10 years, working our way through a list of 1,000 albums that are, quite frankly, my list of what I consider to be the 1,000 most important albums from 1955 until whenever this stops. And right now, we're probably just about at the halfway point. We were past the halfway point on the, well, there's two sections. There's the top 500 of the top 40, which is 500 albums that were very popular and made the top 40. And then in that section, we're already past the halfway mark. The other section is the alternative top 40, 500 albums that never made the top 40, anything from number 41 to never charted, doesn't matter. And that's the other 500. And there, we're only, right now, we're up to number 223 out of the 500 that we've picked. And today we get one closer, because today is number 223, an album that was released in December of 1976. And it's a British group that didn't get very popular at first in the mid-70s here in America, although this album did scratch its way onto the charts. It peaked at number 169. It's by Graham Parker and The Rumor. It's their second album called Heat Treatment. Now, we did cover their first album, and it doesn't feel that long ago. Feels like we did. The two albums came out relatively close, proximity of one another. I would say we just did it just maybe a few months back. But the first album was called Howl and Wind, the debut album by Graham Parker and The Rumor. And I have to admit that most music critics will probably want to point you to Howl and Wind, Graham Parker's first album, as his definitive statement. I strongly disagree. Now, I loved that album enough, Howl and Wind, for me to include it on my list of 1,000 albums. So I'm not saying that anything negative about it. What I am saying is that his second effort with The Rumor, titled Heat Treatment, as I said, is the better record. And my opinion is not a casual observation. I've lived with both of these albums for decades, and I know them both by heart. They are both great examples of British pub rock just before the onset of punk. But I have no doubt that the band's second album is a much more realized effort. Parker's first album was a wonderful signpost of things to come, and it contains some of his best songs. But a few of the lyrics on the first album were awkward, if not ridiculous. Like songs like White Honey and Lady Doctor are great rhythmically, but the words kind of make me blush with embarrassment sometimes on that album. And some of the songs are placeholders, like You've Got to Be Kidding and Not If It Pleases Me. They sound like they either unfinished or like they could have maybe had a little bit more, like a little more growth for those songs. But they're taking up space between the best material. On this album, Heat Treatment, the lyrics are at least slightly less ridiculous, but there is no filler. All 10 tracks, to my mind, withstand the test of time. Now, in the mid-70s, The Rumor, the band, sound like what might have happened if an English version of Little Feat got crossed up with Elvis Costello's attractions. A bunch of mates also shooting for stardom by playing for beer at the time. They're energetic and lively, nimbly negotiating their way through complex arrangements while leaving space for interplay. That's the little feet part. Pouring it all out and something you're going through, two songs that we're going to be playing in this very soon, are incredibly sophisticated examples of pub rock with near perfect interplay between the musicians. While Parker wails above the band with a nervous energy that adds tension to the mix. Coming out only months after the debut, which is why I said we just played it fairly recently, it's hard to imagine that the band could whip up such extraordinary material in such a short period of time. But the sophomore slump is completely avoided on this album. Thanks to gems like the title track, Heat Treatment, Fool's Gold, and Hotel Chambermaid, sort of a more palatable spin on the Lady Doctor sort of theme from the first album, the band sounds stronger and Parker sounds much more confident on this record. His first two albums can and probably should be heard as England's precursor to punk and its frontier offspring, frothier, new wave. Without Graham Parker serving as the pioneer, would Elvis Costello or Joe Jackson become as popular as they did? Parker was Great Britain's first angry young man to reach a modicum of success. Neither Elvis Costello nor Joe Jackson had released an album at this point in time, December of 1976. And here's Parker with his second album. So it certainly helped that he had one of England's finest bands providing support for his songwriting. Parker seemed to come from nowhere. But the rumor, his band, already had a full resume. Band members previously worked as Brinsley Schwartz with Nick Lowe and as Ducks Deluxe, which was a spinoff of Brinsley Schwartz, before signing on with Parker. It was an ideal match as Parker had a wealth of material that required a mix of raw energy and sophistication. While America was still worshiping airtight, overwrought, and self-conscious efforts like Hotel California, an album that defined the era by its faults more than its attributes, and an album that we just covered, I believe, last week, England spawned something more vital and rootsy. They weren't punks, but if anybody writes a book on the British roots of the genre, a chapter would have to be dedicated to the first two albums by Graham Parker and The Rumour. So let's get this party started with the title track. Here's Heat Treatment.
I'm wasting away, not in the heat. Dreaming in the sweet, dreaming in the heat. Dreaming while the flame is burning. Heat, dreaming in the sweet, dreaming in the heat. Dreaming while the world is turning round, 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 round. Well, out in the jungle there's a wall going down. We wind up eating all the friends you found. But you know and I know and it's understood. Let's get out while it getting good. Dreaming in the sweet, dreaming in the heat. Dreaming while the flame is burning. In your love, baby, I wanna wallow.
This is like a great album for somebody who might have been transitioning in the mid-70s. If you were getting tired, I mean, I was. I could tell you what was happening in my mind. I mean, by 1976, I'm graduating from high school. The whole Southern rock thing was beginning to sour really badly. Leonard Skinner, the plane accident, and the Allman Brothers breaking up, that sort of thing. And the stuff that was taking its place was just like yacht rock, what we would now call yacht rock. And I just didn't really feel like much of a, I don't know, I didn't feel comfortable with that. It wasn't fun. And so some of the New York radio stations were picking up on what was coming out of the pub scene in England at just before the pre-punk. And a band like Graham Parker and the Rumor were actually getting some airplay on WNEW at the time, the 102.7. And that became my go-to for getting turned on to new music, because they were playing things that just seemed hipper than what the American, the general malaise of the American music scene was at that point in time. So the bands that I was loving at that time, I'd say my favorite band by far was Little Feat. And I had discovered them around that time. And what I loved was the interplay of that band, how they would seem as though they would, the five musicians would like layer things on top of each other. But yet they'd never sound crowded. They'd never get in each other's way. And to me, that's brilliant. That's one of the best things that a band can do. It is not be too busy, but be sure that you fill in the little bits to make it really fun for the listener. So when I heard Heat Treatment, it blew my mind. Because, like, listen to that song. The arrangement on that is just fantastic. The interplay of the drummer knows exactly what he's doing. He's got a perfect pattern. The bass is playing with him, like, as tightly as he possibly can. And then the mixture of the guitar with the keyboards is quite ideal. I'll probably be talking about the players a little bit as we go through this. But let's play another song. This one is entitled That's What They All Say. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's a perfect example of a really, really well-polished band. The Rumor were excellent. And they were a very good band before they teamed up with Graham Parker. So that has a lot to do with it. They had a lot of familiarity with each other through the other projects that they had gone through. But they were never better, not even close, as they were when they joined up with Graham Parker. And Parker himself, he has a pretty funny background. When he was a little kid, he talked about bands that he had been in. He had a band that he called the Deep Cut Three, which I like that name, when he was a kid. And they changed their name to the Black Rockers. And I have something in common with him in this. Nobody in the band could play an instrument. They just pretended to be a band. No, I did that exact same thing when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I just, got guys in my neighborhood who said, we got to be a band. You know, I was taking drum lessons, so I guess I could have. I was the one that actually did play something. But everybody else, we just have guitars and we just basically stand around and we would actually put a record player in the bass drum and play records. Well, and people would just, we didn't fool anybody. It was, but this is what 10-year-olds do, you know. So this is sort of like the same thing that Graham Parker was doing with these bands. As it said, that, you know, he had a band called Deep Cut Three or the Black Rockers, but none of them could play instruments. They just would dress up like the Beatles and get Beatle haircuts and put on black jeans and polo neck sweaters. It was much later that Graham Parker eventually began to pick up a guitar and learn how to play it, and then decided to write songs. I'll tell you more of his story, but let's play another song before we get there. This album like never really lets up. I love this song too. It's called Turned Up Too Late.
To me with eyes all wide.
Graham Parker and the Rumor, Turned Up Too Late, from the album Heat Treatment. I think it's my favorite. I know it is my favorite Graham Parker album, this album. And I am a fan, quite a fan, as you can tell, because I picked two. And I know we're going to have at least one more on this list eventually as we go forward. What do I want to say? Okay, I could speak about the Rumor a little bit. I mean, on their own, they've put out albums as the Rumor without Graham Parker after these records came out. And they're quite good. The first debut album by the Rumor had a really good cover of a Duke Ellington song. They performed Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me, and it's great. I think that was one of the things that maybe started pushing me to pay more attention to Duke, because it was early in my life when I really didn't know very much about him. And the second album was like when the new wave thing began to hit, and they had two songs that were on the radio that you may have heard, if I've the titles at least. There's a song called Emotional Traffic, Stairway, Stairway from Emotional Traffic. You know, that was it's really fun. And another really pretty song called Frozen Years from their second album with a weird name, Frogs, Clogs, Krauts, and Sprouts or something like that. Anyway, moving on. The next track is, actually it's a follow-up, I suppose. The song that opened up the first album was White Honey. So now he writes a song that's a much darker. This is the most moody song on the album by far. Pretty much everything else after this is upbeat. But this is the one thing that is more or less has got like a dark feel to it. It's called Black Honey. from there, this album. Now this album doesn't let up at all. I mean it. I mean not for a single track. Everything. It's almost like it gets better as it moves on. Let me remind you, you're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD in Garden City, New York. The show is American Hit Radio. And if you're interested in what we're doing, if you want, we got a website that is out of control. AmericanHitNetwork.com is the easy way to get. It's all, if you just type in American Hit Radio, it takes you straight there too. It's the same thing. But we've now got every one of these shows that we've done so far, about 500 of them, and I'd say are complete and done, are there on the website for the Wednesday show. And there's just as much in there as far in regard to what we've done for our Friday show. And everything is available to you on demand for free. You can find out, you can search for a topic that you like or a band that you like or even a song. There's a search engine that works great and you can do whatever you want to do and whenever you want to do it. I'm glad that I'm doing this Wednesdays at 5 o'clock all the time live. I mean, that's my favorite thing to do, but it's also great that we have the ability to save it and put it on the website so you can hear it. So check it out if you got the time. All right, we're playing our way through Graham Parker's second album, Heat Treatment, which is also like his second album in something like less than a half a year. He was really pushing him out quick in the beginning. And this is the last song to end side one of the album, one of my favorites on the record. It's called Hotel Chambermaid. So if the year is 1976, the needle is now rolling to its end and got to move it out of the way to flip over the record and put on side two, which is the stronger side, actually. Side one was great. This one, I love this album so much. It really is awesome. The first song on side two is a song that Heidi and I would often have, we often have New Year's Eve parties, and I always have a playlist, and there's one song that I always put on our New Year's Eve playlist because it's a great song and because it references New Year's in the lyrics. And it's one of those songs where the band is just awesome. Check out how great this band is. The song is called Pouring It All Out. So bad for a guy who was like super uber working class and had virtually no real instrument to play until a lot of time passed by and he wanted to pick. They eventually got pretty good at playing guitar. But I mean, he spent a good part of his life doing things like digging ditches, collecting money from pinball machines was one of his jobs. He worked in a bakery. He worked in a rubber glove factory. Really tough working class jobs. He unloaded frozen foods off of trucks and then delivered them to supermarkets. Well, all that was going on, he was like picking up some style to play guitar, and he actually started to write songs, which is what prompted him to want to play the guitar more, because he had a talent for melody and for writing songs. That's where it all came from. So by the time he got hooked up with the right band, it was perfect. And that's why the first album is quite a surprise in the way that it was as good as it was. But the second album is just flat out I think it's about as perfect as a rock and roll album can get. And we're talking about the album Heat Treatment. Okay, so we're on side two. We'll play one more song before I get to talk a little bit about the band. This song is called Backdoor Love. Treatment. Now, I'm raving about these albums. A lot of it, of course, you know, whoever produces an album has a lot to do with whether or not the album has got a lot of quality. And it's rather interesting because in the beginning, for the first album, well, Graham Parker was lucky to have been discovered by Dave Robinson, who was the manager of Brinsley Schwartz. And he had a studio above a pub called the Hope and Anchor pub, and they would have a festival for music and stuff like that. Eventually they put out a record, Best of the Hope and Anchor Festival, stuff like that, with a lot of new wave bands on it. But in this case, Parker was actually then began to get some airplay, and he got heard, and then he was able to make demos, which eventually ended up with Nick Lowe becoming his producer for the first album. So that's pretty darn good, because Nick Lowe had a lot of years of experience in the music business, although at this time he wasn't the Nick Lowe that everybody knows now. So the second album happens, and he gets even luckier, because the producer on this album is none other than Mutt Lange, who is one of the most, you know, popular, famous rock and roll producers, and a great one at that, obviously. The way that these songs are structured and the way that they're mixed is fantastic. But I really want to give the credit to the musicians, because the Rumor themselves consist of Bob Andrews on keyboard, Brinsley Schwartz, that actually was his name, Brinsley Schwartz, on guitar, and Steve Golding was the drummer, with Andrew Bodner on Fender bass, and Martin Belmont on second guitar. all of them sang. So all the harmonies and stuff, you got a band which is this tight, but they also have very unique and strong voices to harmonize with Graham Parker, who's got such a strangely unique voice that he almost needs that in back of him to soften up what he's doing. And the next song I'm going to play, in my opinion, is the best song on the album. I would even go far as to say it's one of the most 10 well-played rock and roll songs by anybody. It's just perfect, the instrumentation and how great this is. And the way they put on the horns, it's like a four-part horn section as well. It's called Something You're Going Through. When a band is that tight, cool things happen. because, like, I can tell that the drummer has it down to a pattern on that entire song. He's playing a very interesting pattern that shifts with verses and whatever. And at the end, he plays that one fill that very simple, just goes dot, 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 dot. And as he's doing it, Graham Parker apparently picked it up and knew it was there. So he stuttered exactly what the drummer was doing at the exact same time. And it's cool the way it blends together. I love it. All right. We're going to keep one. Like I said, this side is awesome. So let's play the next track. It's called Help Me Shake It. That leaves us with time for just one more. But I want to say, if you want to buy the album or download the album or whatever it is you want to do, it also now comes with two bonus tracks, and they're both really good songs. Hold Back the Night and Let Me Get Sweet on You are two tracks that would be in addition to what you're hearing here on what was on the vinyl album, which is all that I can cover in 1 hour. Which leads us to end with a fabulous song entitled Fool's Gold. I hope you enjoyed this album as much as I did. That'd be pretty cool if you did. Thanks, everybody. See you Friday.